From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox in for Farai Chidea. We marked the beginning of Women's History Month yesterday with the first segment of our series, Leading Ladies. Over the next few weeks, we'll talk with women who are changing the way we think about politics, faith, entertainment, business, and the military. Today, we take a closer look at one of America's most revered institutions, the U.S. Senate. 16 women now serve there. Not bad, though it's hardly representative. Then again, the Senate's gender barrier is nothing compared to its ethnicity barrier. Only 5 African Americans have made it to the Capitol building's North Wing, and only one was a woman, Carol Moseley Braun of Illinois.
My grandfather fought for this country in World War I in France, and he came back. He couldn't sit in the front of the bus or even vote, but he did so because he believed in the promise of America. I'm running for president because I want to protect and preserve it.
Thank you.
I caught up with the former presidential candidate and asked her if women leaders are held to a higher standard.
Every woman who is involved in public life manages to work out her own equation for that. And it's the same whether or not it's a woman in business, a woman in academia, a woman in the sciences, a woman in government. There are different expectations, and part of the challenge that women face is finding a way to be forceful, to be direct, to be assertive, to be clear about their objectives and their ability to get there, and at the same time retain what is described as the feminine side.
How were you able to do that?
I don't know that I was always, I'll be honest with you. You just try. And there are times when, for example, I found when I got to the Senate that sometimes using what I call girl words didn't work, that I could say something and say it in what was I considered to be a genteel way to make the point, and the point wouldn't be made at all. And I finally said, well, flat out, I'll just say what I mean directly, and they'll get the message that way. And they did.
Could you give us an example of what you mean? I'm following you, but could you share with us a girl word that you had to turn into a power word to get your point across?
Well, sometimes it's the old no means no. We had a balanced budget conversation, and I had always been in favor of the constitutional amendment to balance the budget that my senior senator, Paul Simon, had introduced. And the leadership just figured, I guess, because I was considered to be someone from the left and I was from Illinois, that I could be encouraged not to support the balanced budget amendment when the president, President Clinton, decided that he didn't want it. And I had to make the point that, no, I've made a commitment to the voters of Illinois, and I'm not going to be moved. And it was interesting to me that I had to make the point much more forcefully and much more often. But again, every woman figures out how to do that and how to take on the authority of her position, as opposed, because it's not a presumption. She is not presumed to have authority. She is not presumed to have the ability to execute on anything. And of course, women can and do, and just have to have the right words to make it known.
You know, you cannot run for president of this country without controversy. It goes with the territory. Every candidate this year has had it. You've had it. Do you think, and this is the question, do you think that the microscope in this regard on women is closer and brighter than it is on men?
No, I think the microscope is just different. You know, you focus in on different things. There's the line of, you know, husbands, hemlines, and hair. Male candidates' wives or dates are rarely subject for discussion. Well, at least previously they weren't. Mm-hmm. With women, it always is. Hemlines, I mean, how you're dressed becomes much more of an issue for a woman than for any of the men. It's a different set of lenses that's applied to women, and now perhaps even that is beginning to change. That's beginning to level out, and the guys are being called to the same to answer and account for the same kinds of things. I mean, I'm looking forward to the day when a male candidate is being asked, when did he have his nails done last?
Oh, that would be an interesting answer, wouldn't it? Uh-huh. Let me ask you about Senator Hillary Clinton and her presidency. First of all, tell me what your observation is just from watching it as a person who has been both a senator and obviously a woman. How much interest do you personally have in the fact that here is a woman who is legitimately a candidate for president of the United States. I know that you were as well, but she seems to be in the front-running position at the moment for her party.
Well, remember, I served as ambassador in a country that is on its second female prime minister, and she is in her third term. Helen Clark is the prime minister of New Zealand, and she succeeded Jenny Shipley. Now, we have not, and most of the industrialized nations and even some of the third world nations of the world have had female leaders. And so the question becomes whether or not a woman can ascend to the presidency in this country. I think that the thing that distinguishes Hillary Clinton's campaign from that, from mine or Shirley Chisholm or Libby Dole, for that matter, or Pat Schroeder, is the fact that she has access to the kind of institutional support. She has access to the money. And remember, our politics is so dominated by money. It's a scandal, actually, but it's the reality of where we are. It takes millions and millions of dollars. And I think that's very exciting.
What do you see in her as you watch her? And what you know of her that says to you, there's an example of what I was talking about, that sort of transforming, you know, girly language into power language, and how do you see her transforming her visage, if I can put it that way, to make her appeal to men and women?
Well, I'll tell you something. She, again, I think the point I made and I wanted to make was that every candidate has to work, every female candidate particularly has to work that out for themselves. If anything, Mrs. Clinton, Senator Clinton, has to work toward being considered feminine and frilly and girly enough by even some women who have criticized that she doesn't smile enough or whatever. Well, you know, the fact of the matter is she smiles as much as she feels comfortable smiling, and she is direct and she is able to do the job, and she certainly is qualified. But she is having to walk that same tightrope. And I just hope that as the campaign develops, that these gender expectations don't get in the way and don't cloud the vision of people in terms of looking at what does the candidate stand for? What are the credentials? What is the capacity to do the job? As, again, the late Paul Simon would say, the real test is whether or not the person has a good head and a good heart.
Looking back in your role as an ambassador to New Zealand and in your interactions internationally, what would you say is the perception of America by other governments and other societies with regard to how far women have come in political leadership roles here, and whether we are way behind or whether we are finally catching up? How are we perceived around the globe in this regard?
That is such a loaded question. There's so many parts that could answer it, but let me just say that on the issue of gender, again, I think we're seen as slow, you know, as punching below our weight, if you will. We are not seen as, in fact, foreigners are often mystified by the cultural mix that that this country reflects internationally. And one of the places where it is kind of perplexing has to do with gender. I mean, if anything, you know, women are do so much better here than in many other countries in the world, and yet we have not put a woman in leadership. It needs to be a matter of real debate, serious debate, of examination, and women themselves need to take a hard look at what are we doing or not doing that has left us in the next to the last place in terms of taking care of our children, preparing for our future, and making sure that this country remains strong and a place of opportunity going forward.
I have two more questions for you, and again, mm-hmm. I do appreciate your time and cooperation. The first one this. In politics, for you in particular, has it been more difficult being black or being a woman?
You know, that's a difficult question, impossible question to answer, because quite frankly, when you're both, it almost doesn't matter why somebody's foot is on your neck. What matters is that their foot is there. So, you know, when you try to parse which is worse, it's hard to say. But I can tell you this, and this is from my experiences internationally. Racism is more local, and it depends on where you are in the world. There are places in the world where racism, my color, doesn't matter. Sexism, on the other hand, is international and universal. And I found that it's not only something external, but it starts even in the home. Parents raise their little girls differently than they raise their little boys. They put different expectations and on the girls and on the boys, and vice versa. And so racism is external and local. Sexism, in my opinion, are universal and more internal, and that it is in those different dynamics that that the differences often will be expressed, and I think therefore that women have a different set of issues to take up than people of color do, and when they come together, you really have a mix that can be both a very positive mix or a very negative one.
Well, to follow that point up, this is an opportunity that we will offer for you to give some of your sage advice to the young women who are listening who want to dream big.
Just that. Believe in yourself and believe in your dreams and recognize that you can do whatever it is your heart and your mind and your capacity and your energy will let you do. I ran for president largely because my 10-year-old niece called me in and showed me her social studies book and said, "Auntie Carol, but all the presidents are boys." Well, I wanted her to know that presidents didn't necessarily have to be boys. Presidents could be girls, too. And that it was okay for her, if she wanted to be president of the United States, then by golly, in this country, she could. And that, it seems to me, is the most important thing we can do for our children, all of them, boys and girls, is to lead by example and to show them that in this country, our notions of equality and fairness apply to everybody. And if we can continue to strive in that direction, I think the future will be bright indeed for everybody.
Ambassador Carol Mosley Braun, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Carol Mosley Braun is the first and only African-American woman ever elected to the U.S. Senate and a former ambassador to New Zealand. To keep tabs on our series, Leading Ladies, visit the News and Notes webpage at npr.org. Just ahead, should a congressman under federal investigation sit on a Homeland Security Committee? Plus, the latest lowdown on the down low and HIV. And our Africa update with Charlene Hunter-Galt from Johannesburg.